This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What are you doing in Ramadan? What is the purpose of fasting? Whether Salatul Taraweeh is 8 or 20 rakat. But how comes there's still devils running around inside Ramadan? There's people, drug dealers say, I don't deal drugs in Ramadan. How many people are fasting in Ramadan and have these AirPods and listening to music? We are always backbiting, even in Ramadan. And likewise, these Ramadan wars that begin to take place. How do you get the time to sit there to do a 3-4 hour video refuting someone's dramas and serials which are done in Ramadan? So people can just pass their time, as they say. The sign of a fruitful Ramadan is... We find that the human being throughout their life is always finding moments or trying to find moments or trying to change their life. Trying to change their perception of life, and more importantly for us Muslims, devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places certain moments and opportunities on this earth, or certain times and moments for us to avail, for us to better ourselves. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah speaks about these blessed moments or time spans which the Muslim needs to avail, whether it be the day of Ashura, the days of Muharram, the day of Arafah that we find, Ayyamul Hajj that we find, the last third of the night, the day of Yawmul Jum'ah, Sa'atul Istijabah, an hour during the day of Jum'ah that we find, and what we're building up to is Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr. These are all avenues and opportunities for us to better ourselves and connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if to state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the opportunity that whereby we might try to begin to drift away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to multiply our rewards, our actions, and to renew our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because iman, as you find in some traditions that you find, is like a garment, like a thawb. It withers away, it rips, it gets old. You need to recycle it, you need to purchase a new garment. فَلْيُجَدِّدُوا إِيمَانَكُمْ, let you revise your iman. So these are moments of revising our iman and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even as a normal human being, you find human beings search for moments to try to rectify their lives. For non-Muslims, as we know, it may be the New Year celebrations that they have. If you read the list of the New Year resolutions that they have, many of these resolutions, you may think it's a Muslim who's making this list of resolutions, even though they scrap it the same night or the following day. But read through the resolutions to be good to one's parents or family members, stay away from haram, stay away from illicit behavior, corruption, bad ethics, good speech, good character, good behavior. But it all goes out the window because they don't have that iman. They don't have that resolution, that commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people may try to choose what they claim to be the golden age, you know, of 40, which even though there is some evidence towards that, the 40 is the age of wisdom, or the age of prophethood that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we find that's been mentioned inside Revelation coming to him. Even inside the Quran, Allah mentioned, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. When a person comes to 40 years, then the person says that, oh Allah, give me the ability to give thanks to you and then thanks to my parents. And then the end of the verse, it mentions, إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then I've repented back to you. As it is ishara, the age of 40, age of wisdom, age of perception, understanding, the person now begins to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, in some narrations that we find, أَعْذَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَى مْرِئٍ أَخْرَ أَجَلُ حَتَّى بَلَغَ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً, inside Bukhari that we find, the person reaches the age of 60 years old. Allah delays that person's age up to the age of 60. Then Allah accepts no excuse from that individual if they don't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that you've had ample opportunity inside your life to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've lost all excuses now, because you've reached such a peak age towards, as you find, the decline of your life. Because in the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi that we find, Umr ummati min bayni sittina or min sittina sana ila sab'ina sana. The average age time span of my Muslim ummah, of this ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is between 60 and 70 years is the average time span. So if a person at that certain age doesn't begin to repent, doesn't begin to reflect, doesn't begin to ponder about their life, then it's as if they have no excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that as a prelude about why we should change ourselves, we need to understand that change has a massive impact on this Muslim ummah. Because amongst the reasons why this Muslim ummah is suffering, if you look at the top four or five reasons, if you study them in great detail, amongst them is our own state. Had this impact, hurricane impact upon this Muslim ummah, upon those people that we see what's taking place. And we should be learning lessons from this, that this could happen again at another moment in time because of our negligence. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Inna Allah la yughayru ma biqawmin hatta yughayru ma bianfusihim. Inside Surah Ra'd, the 13th chapter, verse number 11, Allah mentioned, Allah does not change a condition of a people until they don't change their own selves. There's a strong element of truth that we need to understand. As they say, the truth is bitter, it's sour. But a lot of the problems that we're facing is due to our own selves, our own negligence and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. In the same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to that mentions there are angels who are guarding and preserving the individual. And some of the ulama tafaseer, they mentioned that this means that the person is being protected and guarded as long as they remain upon istiqamah, steadfastness and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the end part of the verse, it mentions, and if Allah wants any hardship or affliction to come upon a people, no one can remove it except for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the ulama discussed that a person is in a state of blessings and goodness. When you begin to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then difficulties and hardships begin to fall upon this Muslim ummah. And no one can remove them until you begin to return back to your deen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to unveil them, remove them once again, and bring you back to your normal state. That's what Allah mentioned, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنَ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't they see that we test them, put them to trial once or twice in a year? For what purpose? That you may begin to reflect, become focused towards your life and repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this, as we mentioned, whatever it may be, is all elements of certain elements of, if you can use this word linguistically, punishment on the face of this earth for people, for us, the rest of us to reflect. To reflect, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make istighfar and to make tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to awaken us. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish a people if you happen to remain amongst them, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah mentioned, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will not punish a people as long as they remain in a state of istighfar, in a state of repentance and tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ. Why don't they repent back to Allah? Why don't they turn back to Allah? That's why tawbah, if I mean taba, anaba, yunibu, tawbatan, is something which going back again and again. So a person is going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah mentions inside the Quran, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. You believe? Make a sincere tawbah. A sincere tawbah. Not just a person just says istighfar me and just says certain things, but make a sincere tawbah of not going back to what a person was doing previously inside their life. Ignore, for example, a person returns back. That's something later on to be discussed. But that moment in time was known as azmus sadiq, a strong commitment, resolution, and a commitment inside your heart and your mind that you're not going to return back to that, or you're going to better yourself. And that's what we're trying to build up to, that the month of Ramadan is the ideal opportunity to make that strong resolution and that commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become a better individual. That's what we've mentioned many times. Fuqaha have discussed that if a person makes an intention to be a good Muslim just in the month of Ramadan, and we're not applying this upon any individual, but these are what fuqaha, Islamic jurists, have discussed in the works of fiqh and legal rulings. That if a person makes an intention, I'm only going to be a good Muslim in Ramadan, and as soon as Ramadan is over, I'm going to go back to my normal life. Not just like many of us, we may do a sin in our life or go back to something we're doing. We don't really intend that. But this person has consciously made an intention. And you learn that from people. When you speak to people, people may say, you know, I'm only going to give up smoking in Ramadan, but as soon as Ramadan is over, I'm probably going to go back to smoking. I'm just staying away from it this month, or whatever evil, whatever haram it may be. So a person who makes that double intention, specifically and consciously, those 29 and 30 days of fasting that they do, technically, like I said, we don't want to apply it upon anyone, and no one should go around trying to apply it upon anybody. Technically, according to academically, for siyamuhu batil, their fasting has been invalidated. You've wasted 29 or 30 days of your life. So a person should make a strong intention that I don't want to go back to what I'm doing before. If it happens, that's irrelevant. But don't make a double intention that only these days that I'm going to stay away from this sin, or I'm going to go back and do whatever I'm doing normally. You find that. You'd be very surprised if you've engaged with people. There's people, drug dealers, say, I don't deal drugs in Ramadan. But when I go after Ramadan, you know, if I have to go back to whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it in my life. So don't even feel remorseful about it. They just think there's just those 29, 30 days, I'm going to be clean inside my life. They're actually wasting their fasting. They're wasting their life. They're wasting their time. They're wasting their efforts because they're not feeling they want to change, take this opportunity to change and to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيْرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمْهَا لَقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And that is, Allah will never change the blessings He bestows upon a people until they change their own selves. So blessings are always coming for a person. Blessings are only changed via our own negligence. So the default position is that everyone is under the blessings of Allah. When we become negligent, we don't begin to become focused inside our lives, we become sinful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to remove the blessings and change it from ni'am to what's known as niqam. From blessings to adversities, hardships, difficulties that begin to be placed upon the individual because of the negligence towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in a famous hadith Qudsi that you find, وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ بِشِبْرٍ تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا وَإِن أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُ هَرْوَلَةً. So a person comes to a hand span close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah comes an arm's length. Person comes an arm's length, Allah comes with two arms stretched out towards the individual. And if he comes to me walking, أَتَيْتُ هَرْوَلَةً, I come to him at great speed. The meaning of hadith is taking steps of change. You make the effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate it for you. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever strives in our paths, we will open up the paths for them. So you make the intention to do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate it. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Whatever we do inside our lives, it's tawfiq min Allah. We just have to make that small effort, and the rest is, as they say, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that person the inspiration, to give them that encouragement. We just have to have that flicker of that commitment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ignite that for us inside our hearts, inside our lives. But we don't even have that flicker of change, that flicker of devotion, that, you know, I'm not doing the right things inside my life, I'm not being committed enough towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're going to be left inside that state of darkness. People always ask the question, what is the benefit? In shay'ul ma'nawi hissi, what can we gain from changing? You know, changing ourselves, coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these, yukhatibuna speaks about these things towards our intellect, towards our spiritual needs, towards our worldly needs. That what are the benefits of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned amongst the blessings of change, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. First thing is blessings. If the people of village, they believed and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would open up the blessings of the heavens and the earth upon them. So change, amongst the fawa'id, the benefits of change, it brings the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the individual. It brings a person in a state of peace. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. I'm going to change your condition of fear into a state of aman. يَعْبُدُونَنِي وَلَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Inside Surah An-Nur, Allah mentioned, this is how you gain peace and tranquility and security within yourself and in the environment that you live in. One is via tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, ibadah, worship. يَعْبُدُونَنِي وَلَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah will change. The wording is changed. Will change your condition of fear into a state of stability and hope and aspiration if you carry out these actions. And even simpler surah that all of us, we've memorized and we read, Surah Quraysh. Allah mentions, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Same message. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So let them worship the Rabb, the owner, the Rabb of this house, meaning the Kaaba. Devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُ مِنْ جُوعٍ, who feeds them whilst after they've been in a state of hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, and takes away, gives them peace and security when previously they were in a state of fear. That's the benefits of change. That's the benefits of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, we find ma'iyatullah, being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being positive inside our lives. That's why whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, study those ayat inside the Quran, wa huwa ma'akum, that He's with you, Allah is with the believers, Allah is with those people. Read all those sifat and those characteristics of how a person earns what is known as ma'iyatullah, to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, when they make that change, they have a positive, assertive outlook of life. You very rarely find a person who's focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who despairs. Obviously, we all despair linguistically, that we get worried about certain things inside our life. If a person loses their job, loss of a loved one, some difficulty. We always have that human element, but a person doesn't totally despair. You know, when there's the Wall Street crash, people who had money, whatever it may be. That doesn't happen for a Muslim who has a positive outlook of life. It may weaken them slightly, but it doesn't take away their iman. And that's what iman, the change and the devotion and commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates or places inside the individual, is a positive outlook of life, irrespective of whatever is taking place around them. Fourthly, that we find is it makes a person a better person. You know, the supplication we all make on a daily basis, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah, give us good in this world and give us good in the hereafter. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, save us from the punishment of hellfire. Prior to this, it mentions, وَمِنُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. Prior to that, Allah mentions, this person just says, give me good in this world. And Allah says, there's going to be nothing for this person inside al-akhirah. But the believer is the one who says, give us good in this world and give us good inside the hereafter and save us from the punishment of hellfire. So a person becomes positive and a better person and focused inside their life and what they want to achieve. Because even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَلَنُحْيَنَّوْا حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carries out righteous actions, Allah mentions, فَلَنُحْيَنَّوْا حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We're going to give the individual a good life. Whether you want to take it in the worldly aspect, but even more so inside the spiritual aspect of contentment and peace and tranquility and devotion, that's what happens to the believer who has that belief and that conviction of changing themselves and bringing themselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the feelings of change that we all human beings and Muslims, we have, you know, maybe I'm not praying appropriately 5 times a day, maybe I'm not dressing appropriately, maybe I'm not adorning myself as a Muslim should be, maybe I'm not observing the veil or the hijab appropriately, whatever it may be. All these thoughts, we all carry them inside our life. Now's the opportunity to pounce on them, to jump on them. That look, Ramadan is coming. Now I need to avail this opportunity. That take this opportunity to try to better myself inside this blessed month. As we mentioned, that this is the ideal opportunity to change oneself. Why? Why should we choose Ramadan? Because we find that the blessings of Ramadan are so many to avail the opportunity. Amongst those blessings of Ramadan that we find to make the task and to facilitate the task is Sufiyat al-Shayateenu wa Maradul Jinn. You find that the shayateen, the devils, and the jinn have been chained up. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَفُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. And you find وَغُلِّقَتْ صِيغَةُ الْمُبَالَغَةِ. It doesn't say the doors are closed. In Arabic language, you're saying the doors are slammed shut and sealed. The doors of Jahannam are sealed. وَفُتِّحَتْ. And the doors of Jannah aren't just slowly open, they just sprung open. Meaning what? There's more chance of you to get into paradise in Ramadan. That's what it means. That's why some people always ask the question, but how comes there's still devils running around inside Ramadan? Ulama have a long discussion about that. Some say maybe the senior shayateen have been chained up, but the rest of the small soldiers are still running around whispering to people. Some ulama said, no, it's your own whisperings within yourself. You still haven't controlled that are coming into your mind that's still leading you towards that. But anyhow, the general effect of the shaitan is weakened inside the month of Ramadan, of temptations and desires are weakened. So it's not a difficult task for some people that we may perceive. Because just as we began with the nature of the human being is to go towards change. Whether we look at that the change of the environment of our lives, whether it be right at the beginning, the darkness of the womb of the mother to the light of this dunya, the darkness of the grave to the light of the hereafter, the stages of our life from nursery to primary to secondary to college to university, from marriage life to one job to another job, one country, another country. You know, all this, we embrace this. Obviously, we find it difficult, no doubt, but most of us, we embrace it. We take it steps of our life. We take them maybe as challenges of our life, but we'll deal with it accordingly. But why, when it comes to the steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we drag our feet? We make this whole mountain, oh, it's so difficult to make this change towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But every single day, you're making this change. In every single sphere of your life, you make those changes accordingly to come close to whatever you're trying to achieve. Even the human being, if you study how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a human being, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا, we created you inside stages. Look at the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd chapter. Look at Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd chapter. All these stages, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. From nutfa, mudgha, alaqa, all these various stages of human being. Then we made him into a complete human being. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqeen. Best creation that he's made of the human being. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is us, the human being. That these are the stages we've gone through. And until eventually we go to the stages of towards the end of our life. So all of this we embrace inside our lives to do these changes. But in our commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there seems to be some element of weakness in our commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we need to understand that whilst in this change, because that's another argument some people present or excuse, is that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive me. But this is the month of mercy. And prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned speaking about change. If you look at the ayat inside the Quran, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِي رَحْمَةً. The default position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it upon himself to be merciful. That's why the Quran, it begins by speaking about Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's what some of the ulama said, this is Muqaddamatul Quran. This is the introduction of the Quran. It's not introduction to the Quran. It's an introduction to who is Allah. That's what Surah Al-Fatiha is. Because Surah Al-Fatiha, these seven verses are an introduction to who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereby it mentions right at the beginning of the first three or so verses, speaks about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then at the end of the verse, then it tells us in the middle, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that you alone we worship and you alone we seek aid and assistance from. Then it warns us, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the straight path, that if you deviate from the straight path, you're exposed to what? The wrath and the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Surah Al-Baqarah concludes by mentioning, يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَدِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That rightfully He forgives whomever He wants, and rightfully, out of His infinite justice, He punishes whomever He wants. If you don't carry out your devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ رَحْمَةً. Inside the same surah, Allah mentions slightly differently, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ رَحْمَةً. Allah has written it down upon Himself to be merciful. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close by to the doers of good. قَالَ عَذَابِي أُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My punishment comes to whoever it's been prescribed to fall upon. But as for my mercy, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. But my mercy has encompassed everything. Thus we find that when ulama speak about what is aqidah, what is belief, and it's based upon three general things, is about hub, your love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-raja, hope, wal khawf. These are the three elements of aqidah that you find in simple terms. That's what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he highlights that iman is like a bird. The main part of the bird is love. And the two wings is al-raja and al-khawf, hope and fear. In certain moments inside your life, you sway towards hope, and certain times you sway towards fear. Some of the ulama explained that even deeper. They said that fear is when you're young. That's when you need to scare people at times. And people say, why is he so scaring us so much for? It's, you have to remind them about the fire. وَذَكِّرُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, because you need fear to awaken you. And al-raja, hope, is towards the end of your life. In a state of sickness, illness, old age. Then you need hope. You need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't try scaring a person then. There you give them hope that you've had a good life. You spent years obeying Allah. You tried your best. Allah will forgive you. Huwa ghafur rahim. Yarhamuka. He will have mercy upon you. That's when. So you have to keep the bird, as they say, balanced. But the main theme of the bird, the main body of the bird, is love. It's love and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what love is a driving factor. The more that you have that love inside your heart, it takes you places. That's what Allah speaks about even inside Surah Al-Baqarah, that those people who have a severe love towards people. But the believers, أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, believers are those individuals who have an even more severe love and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, inside Surah Al-Imran, in the beginning, in verse 31 or so, Allah mentions, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Imam al-Wahidi in his works of Asbab al-Nuzul and many ulama, Ibn Kathir and other ulama tafaseer, they mention, this is ayatul imtihan, ayatul ikhtibar, the verse to test you, the examination question. Because that's what the Christians were making this claim, that everything is love. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the proof? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَرَدُّ الْفِعْلِ. What will happen? Allah will love you and will forgive you your sins. So that's the path of gaining love. You can't gain love without following the teachings and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, because he was the most codified, complete, an accurate person who dedicated his life. That's why in the hadith, he said, I'm not boasting, أَنَا أَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. I am the most fearing of Allah amongst you. And there's no doubt about that. That the Prophet was the most fearing of human beings towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to follow him in every single thing that he told us to do inside our lives, to gain closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like in the hadith Qudsi, you mentioned in the hadith, that the only way that you can come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ, whatever I've obligated upon you. All actions which are obligatory bring you close to Allah. Then you do the nawafil, then you do the supererogatory and the extra actions to supplement it. You don't jump to the supplementary actions and think that will bring you closer to Allah. That's what some people do. Like, for example, people may pray all night, قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ, but they fall asleep at Fajr. They fall asleep at Fajr time. They miss the Fajr. It's better to go to sleep and to wake up on time and to pray Fajr than to be praying all night and you miss your Fajr. Or people make a big issue. And rightfully, we should make a big issue of praying Salatul Taraweeh, because some people have this. We're going to talk about some of the innovations. They believe that if you don't pray Taraweeh, you can't fast in the morning. They have this perception that if you didn't pray Taraweeh at night, you can't fast in the morning. And some people believe that Taraweeh is an obligation. They believe it's an obligation. That's why some people they come late for Isha. They miss Isha, but they come for Taraweeh on time. So that's a deception of the devil. You should be for Isha on time, and if you need to leave, then you leave after if you have to leave. Not that we encourage that. That should be crystal clear, because too many people take leniency. Oh, Taraweeh is only sunnah. You don't have to pray if you don't want to pray. If you're feeling a little sniffle in your nose, just go home. No. It's just Taraweeh. You should take it seriously. Follow it seriously. It's 1 month inside your life that you're focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the 1 month inside you have no right to tell the imam what to do. You know, people complaining, oh, their mom is taking so long, he's reading slowly, he's taking long in his ruku, he's taking long in sujood. He's rightfully allowed to do so. He's rightfully allowed to take as long as he wants. Because Salatul Taraweeh is a nafl prayer. And it should be elongated. It should be a long prayer. As long as the imam wants. Other prayers, you can come and complain to the imam that you're reading too long, we got work in the morning, take it easy upon us. You can do that. So if you have no right to disturb the imam, you should be coming there for the purpose of benefiting oneself. This is the only time, as I said many, many times, for many of us, it could be the only time in the year we listen to the whole Quran as well. It's the only time in the year we listen to the whole Quran from the beginning to the end. So a person shouldn't miss that opportunity. And likewise, these Ramadan wars that begin to take place, these debates are going on for centuries. Not even centuries. Akthar min alf sana. More than 1,000 years it's been debated amongst the fuqaha whether Salatul Taraweeh is 8 or 20 raka'at. So don't come along today and think that you've championed the cause. That's what some people think. As soon as they learn it, that's it. It's a bid'ah. Only one or two fuqaha said it's a bid'ah. Only one or two in history. The rest of them still say that it's something acceptable. But it's awla to pray in the hadith of Bukhari to pray 8 raka'at with 3 witr. But if your masjid doesn't pray that, don't create a big fuss about the situation. Just quietly leave. Don't get in an argument with people and trying to prove that they're wrong and they're doing this and doing that. What's the spirit of Ramadan? What's the spirit of Ramadan that we're forgetting? That's why even sometimes I'm shocked that sometimes in Ramadan you find all these rudud, all these refutations, all these videos being pumped out there. And I'm sitting there thinking, are you actually in Ramadan? How do you get the time to sit there to do a 3-4 hour video refuting someone or refuting something about that? What are you doing in Ramadan? I'm not saying you shouldn't refute someone, you shouldn't say something which is inaccurate. But where are you finding that energy and that time in Ramadan? Where's your devotion towards spirituality when this is the one moment inside your life, as we're going to mention, whereby your sins are going to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also Allah mentioned, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is swift to bring you to accountability and to punishment, and likewise He is غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ in the end of the surah inside, Surah Al-An'am, that we find. So Ramadan is a month of mercy. That's why some people quote this hadith, but the hadith is not authentic. أَوَّلُ رَحْمَ وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَ وَآخِرُ إِتْقُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. The meaning is true, sound, but the hadith is not authentic. That the first 10 days are rahma, middle 10 days are maghfirah, and the last 10 days, nights are deliverance from the fire. The meaning is sound. We can't deny that. But the whole of the month of Ramadan is rahma, the whole of the month is maghfirah, and the whole month is itqun min an-nar, is to be delivered from the hellfire. In a hadith Qudsi, they find, نَمَّا قَدَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقُ كَتَبَ فِي كِتَابِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ فَهُ مَوْضُوعٌ عِنْدَهُ. In the hadith Qudsi, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, as narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down with himself, with a book that is with him. Inside that book, it contains what is written, Inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi, that my mercy overcomes my anger. In the Sahihain, in the hadith of Bukhari Muslim. Meaning that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overcomes the anger. And Ramadan is a month of mercy and forgiveness. Whilst in that change, is the bad deeds are changed. Numerous places inside the Quran, Allah mentions, if you look at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th chapter, speaking about Ibadur Rahman al-Ladina Yamshun al-Ardli Hona, speak about Sifat of Ibadur Rahman. At the end of it, Allah mentions, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِمْ حَسَنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمًا. It speaks about a list of all the sins and mistakes that these people may do. And Allah then mentions, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ. Once again, the word is change. Will change their bad deeds into good deeds. Providing you're in that journey. Another place inside the Quran Allah mentioned, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Indeed, the good deeds, they wipe out the bad deeds. Indeed, that is something for the person who pays heed towards that. So we find, إِنَّمَ الْأَعْمَالُ عَلَى الْخَوَاتِيمِ. Actions are to be judged according to their ending. The ending of what a person is doing inside their life or doing inside Ramadan, that person is focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all this makes it an easy task. As you mentioned, the gates of paradise are open, the gates of hell are closed. It's a month of consciousness. Allah speaks about it inside Surah Al-Baqarah, a long page or so that we find from verse 180 or 181 onwards. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Or you believe fasting has been prescribed for you just like it was prescribed to those people that came before you. For what purpose? What is the purpose of fasting? It's just to become hungry and thirsty. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you may attain an inner, higher level of piety, God consciousness, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that journey is a month of dua. Because in this page or so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ramadan, is one of the most powerful verses about dua. That's why the Quran is unique. The Quran, even it speaks about al-fiqh, speaks about rules and restrictions and regulations. Quran always speaks about spirituality. It doesn't just leave you. It speaks about spirituality. So in the fiqh of siyam, in the fiqh of the do's and the don'ts of fasting, Allah mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, if the servant asks about me, any servant, any type of Muslim that you are, Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm close by to that person. This verse is in the context of Ramadan, as if to give us an ishara. The most important thing about Ramadan is taqwallah, consciousness. And the second most important thing is dua ilallah, to make this a month of supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me istiqamah, give me steadfastness, give me, as we mentioned in the beginning, tawfiq and ability to carry on this journey outside the month of Ramadan. And so we find that man lam yada qawla zur wal amal bihi, that's another lesson Ramadan. So it's not just about abstaining from food and drink. Whoever doesn't stay, falaysa lillahi hajatun an yada'a ta'amu wa sharabuhu, whoever doesn't stay from false speech, bad speech, vulgar speech, bad conduct, then Allah has no need for that person to stay away from food and drink. And unfortunately, many of us, we can't do this. We can't do this in our lives. We are always backbiting other people, even in Ramadan. It's worse outside of Ramadan. But in Ramadan, even in the masjid, and even say something simple like, oh, the imam, he's always late. That's backbiting the imam. Oh, the imam takes too long. Oh, why has the masjid not done this? Why hasn't he done that? Why haven't they done that? Why haven't they done that? These are all signs. You don't understand the concept of Ramadan. You don't come into the masjid thinking the concept of, maybe I've got a few moments to make dua, to read some Quran, read some extra nawafil. Like I said many times, we have to speak the truth about our community. We spend hours arguing outside Ramadan, outside in the doors, hours on end. But for some reason, we find it a bit hard to just read extra 2 rak'at. We find it so easy to just gossip about it. And then this new wave is a context of we're defending the deen. We're defending the deen, so we have a right to speak about these people. You're backbiting most of these people. You're backbiting about it. You're saying things that which are going beyond the concept of trying to advise someone, speaking ill of someone, being rude about someone, and then try to justify, well, I would say it in front of their face anyway. Now, sometimes we hear this as imams. We hear it many times. I've been there doing wudu. And I know that this person's been a Muslim for 2-3 months. Literally been 2-3 months. They've been telling me I've been a Muslim for 2-3 months. And he's telling me, the imam who's going to lead us in prayer, فَهُوَ ضَالٌ, he's misguided, jahil, he's ignorant. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're telling me you've been a Muslim for 3 months. And at the same time, you have the audacity to then say this about imam who's been serving the imam for the last 30 years. Okay, he may be ignorant on certain things, but Allah blessed him to be 30 years serving as an imam, where you've just been just barely doing your wudu after 3 months. And you have the audacity to say that about somebody else. That shows where our culture is going, where we're going, driving ourselves. And this has no parameters. Even the month of Ramadan, it becomes common for people to make these slogans, these chants, and say things about people. These are all symbols that we're wasting our time. That's what many of the ulama have spoken about. A symbol of your Ramadan is being wasted, your life is being wasted. You're just busy with qila wa qal. This and that was said, and that he said that, he done this, he done that. That's a symbol. You're wasting your Ramadan. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. There's people that I know for 25, 30 years, that's all his life been. How much of the Quran have you read in your life? Still can barely read the Quran. Never read the tafsir of the Quran. Never read a whole complete book of hadith. Never studied something appropriately. But they're quick to speak about other people. Person should be worried that I'm just accumulating sins upon myself, even inside this blessed month of Ramadan. مَنْ لَمْ يَدَ قَوْلُ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ. Whatever doesn't leave false speech, and inside that it comes, what we're going to mention other actions as well. If you want to have a fruitful Ramadan. That's what some of the, as we mentioned, psychologists, they mentioned that it's something that you do for 21 days, or I don't know, 14 or 15 days, as they say. If you do it habitually, regular practice, it becomes part of your life. It's easy to give it up inside your life. Here we have this 29, 30 days to help us to stay away if we do it sincerely in our belief and conviction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sawmul lisan, fasting of the tongue. What is fasting the tongue? But, you know, what's that got to do with fasting? Ulama mentioned, anil ghiba, an-namima, ash-shatam, al-la'an. Control your tongue, fast your tongue from staying away from backbiting, cursing, reviling, swearing. Control your tongue. That's fasting of the tongue. Obviously, these things don't break your fast, but they bring down the reward of your fast. Secondly, we find sawmul ayn, fasting of the eyes. What is fasting of the eyes? Don't look at haram. Don't follow something which is haram. Control your gaze, control your looking, your glance. Fast the eyesight in the month of Ramadan. Sawmul udhun, fasting of the ears. How many people are fasting in Ramadan, they have these AirPods and whatever it may be, and listening to music? Listening to music in Ramadan, and most of the music at the moment is vulgar. It's vulgar music, vulgar words, vulgar videos. And in our studies that we have to sometimes compile certain things, you know, I don't understand how people are visualizing and listening to this trash. And the words that are there, disseminated, the type of words that they are, of course it's going to corrupt your heart. That's why Abdullah Mas'ud said that two things can't exist in the cavity, in the chest of a human being. You can't have sawtu Rahman or sawtu Shaitan. You can't have it inside the heart. One eventually is going to overcome the other. So the more that you listen to this, more it's going to have an impact upon you. People in Ramadan think nothing of it, just put it in the ears, they listen to it. Even the Muslim world, they say that the highest viewership of these musalsala, these dramas and these programs is inside Ramadan. In the Muslim world, there's specific dramas and serials which are done in Ramadan. So people can just pass their time, as they say. That's not what life is, just about passing time. It's trying to bring yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things that we all know, as we began with, these are detrimental things to my life, my devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me take this opportunity to do it properly so that it becomes easy for me to give it up after Ramadan. So murijal, not to walk to anything which is haram. Al-mashi ila al-haram. You know how many people, even in Ramadan, walking to these shisha cafes or whatever it may be at night, just saying that we're just going there to just pass our time, or maybe what are inside this environment? What is there? What are you surrounded by? After these 14, 15 hours of fasting, listening to some Quran, what's there? Music, ikhtilat, free mixing, smoking, shisha, haram, all this there. What are you doing with your Ramadan? Just wasted it. Wasted that day of fasting, or going there just a trick of the shaitan that I need now something to calm myself down, all this hard struggle that I've done inside my life. You just washed it all away. So walking towards something which is haram, sawmul yad, not to touch or to take something haram with your hands. All of this becomes what happens to the person. A person, if they do this, becomes beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find a severe warning of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Remember, very rare occasions he would, if you can use such words, he would curse or warn people. Amongst those occasions, he mentioned, he climbed the minbar, and he said, Ameen, three times. And for each one of them, he gave an explanation for them. But what concerns the one he said that Jibreel came to me and said, whoever reaches the month of Ramadan and does not have his sins forgiven and so enters the fire, then may Allah distance him, say Ameen. And the Prophet, alayhi sallam said, Ameen. Meaning whoever doesn't come to the month of Ramadan and doesn't come closer to Allah, doesn't distance themselves away from the fire, then as we began with, you've doomed yourself. You've been given the opportunity, you didn't avail it. You've been given the opportunity, but you decided not to take the opportunity to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the Prophet is saying himself, whoever doesn't avail the opportunity, and Jibreel is saying distance that individual away, take him more closer to the fire, say Ameen. The Prophet says Ameen towards that dua, response to it, which is a very rare occasion. A very rare occasion that he would make such a supplication against his own ummah, against his own followers. It's something that we should be wary about. And that's where we find that whoever carries out the actions of Ramadan, look at all the blessings. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman wa ihtisaban, hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total sincerity, his previous sins will be forgiven. Obviously referring to the minor sins. Man qama Ramadan, whoever stands the night prayer, salatul tarawih behind the imam, with iman, with the conviction, their sins will be forgiven. And likewise, on man qama laylatul qadr, whoever stands in the night of laylatul qadr, that person's sins will also be forgiven. So look at all this opportunity for us to avail ourselves. And even prior to that, if you look at the concept of Sha'ban that we find, this month of Ramadan, that many people are unaware of the blessed month of Ramadan, or Sha'ban, whereby you find a hadith mentioned that many people, in the hadith of Bukhari that we find, that the Prophet ﷺ would fast, kulluhu or kullahu or kathratuhu, would fast Sha'ban as if all of it, or most of it. No other month would fast so excessively as for the month of Sha'ban, as we thought that he was in continuously fasting this month. Another hadith mentions that many people are ghafil about this month between Rajab and Ramadan is the month of Sha'ban. Many people are unaware of it. That is a month, and I want to fast that month whereby a person's actions are delivered, just like Monday and Thursday brought up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want my actions to be brought up during the opportunity to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that month. Laylul Qadr has evidence. Because obviously the Quran is mentioning خَيْرُ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, is better than 1,000 nights. And so many narrations, Bukhari, Muslim, to seek Laylatul Qadr inside the odd nights, the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. But the riwayat, some narrations mention seek it in the towards the end, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. So there's evidence for that, to seek Laylatul Qadr. And the correct view regarding Laylatul Qadr is it alternates every single year. This belief that it's specifically the 27th night of Ramadan is not accurate. To specifically select 27th every single year. There's narrations at Sahih Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ saw in a dream that he's prostrating inside the mud because water has come down, and he's prostrating the ground in mud. And the following day that we find, or the following night, the Prophet ﷺ was in a state of prayer, and you find it rained and he was prostrating down, and that was the 21st night of Ramadan, hadith inside Sahih Muslim. So here ulama use evidence that it's not always going to be the 27th night of Ramadan. But is it evidence to try to exert ourselves during the nights of Laylatul Qadr? Conclusion we mentioned, try our best to exert ourselves in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, as he done inside his blessed month of Sha'ban, and fasting excessively, coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his blessed month of Sha'ban is a build up towards the month of Ramadan. Then in the month of Ramadan, build ourselves targets and goals of what we want to achieve. At least we should achieve this inside Ramadan, is to read the Quran from the beginning to the end in Arabic, and don't give the excuse I don't understand what's being read. Just read it. There's reward for that. And then on the side, then read in a language that you understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, which is a brief rendition. But don't give up reading the Quran in Arabic. Don't give that up. Even if you stutter, you struggle, whatever it may be focused that I'm going to, inside this month of Ramadan, I'm going to make sure that from the beginning to the end, tawfiq min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to complete the reading of the Quran. That's one reading the Quran. You follow the imam wherever masjid that you pray in. Make a resolution, just follow that imam from the beginning to the end, and you've listened to the Quran for a second time inside the month of Ramadan. And this, hopping from one masjid to another masjid, this qari is a good qari, this qari is a good qari, get there, turn up late, don't even listen to the salah, don't do that. Wherever your local masjid is, exert yourself to be there and to follow. Most masajid, alhamdulillah, most of the masjids in that area now, they all have good qurra. they all have good imams, good reciters of Quran. They just follow the imam there and complete, begin your prayer with the imam and end your prayer with the imam, and avoid unnecessary discussion and argumentation with people. So you have a fruitful and a blessed Ramadan. That's what ulama said. The sign of a fruitful Ramadan is after Ramadan, you carry on doing the small amount of good deeds that you do. You try your best to carry on doing them until eventually, just like now, our iman, it withers away, it becomes weak. Ramadan comes in again, and again we're boosted to become close to Ramadan again. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu give us a tawfiq and ability to reach the month of Ramadan. How many of our loved ones and our close ones, people who weren't here last Ramadan, no longer exist, or those who could fast last Ramadan can't fast this Ramadan. So we should take this, as we began, with a great ni'mah, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's given us this opportunity to fast in this blessed month of Ramadan, to eat well, to dress well, to be well. So then, you know, show that gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Rab, I'm here, I'm exerting myself, trying my best, you know, give sadaqah of your money inside this blessed month of Ramadan. It multiplies that reward. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his form of sadaqah as a protection and the deliverance from the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as sadaqah tutfi'un nar, sadaqah, it extinguishes the fire. Sadaqah tutfi'u ghadab Allah, sadaqah takes away from the anger of Allah. Sadaqah gives you blessings in your children, blessings inside your life. Is how we should, you know, perceive the giving of sadaqah, and give it with the intention that these poor people, they're coming up to Ramadan. We've all seen the images. Let's not shy away from the fact what they're eating, what they're drinking, how they're living. You know, we can never, ma natasawwar, as they say in Arabic, we can never ever imagine to be in that state in our lives. We can never imagine that. We can't even imagine it, what these people are going through. So the least that we can do, what's £5-10 going to do from amongst us? And that will buy them, you need a couple of meals, that'll give them and make them feel happy. And